This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Right now, I'm talking with Scott Mellinger from Zao. This is kind of a nerd out moment for me because I got into metal. So, you know, you might listen to Metal Shop and be like, Deicide, you know, Impaled Nazarene. This guy must be super satanic. Well, turns out I actually got into metal via Songs from the Penalty Box, via Volume 2. My mom got it from a Christian bookstore. And wow. I got into Zao and Stretch Armstrong. And so through that, I got into, you know, more hardcore music, more death metal, got into Ixtol and then Opeth. And then, so you guys were the gateway, man, like the beginning, and the fact that you guys are still doing it and putting out awesome content. I mean, I don't have even a question to start it off, but just welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thank you. Actually, it's funny because like that whole thing, like how our band has progressed. I mean, we're, you know, I'm all about Deicide. So whatever.
Absolutely, man. And okay, so let's just jump right into it, dude. You guys are coming back at Furnace Fest. Is that the first gig back for you guys?
Well, I think there's going to be shows on our way down to Furnace Fest, but I'm not 100% sure on when, routing, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, we're essentially using Furnace Fest as like our kind of ramp back moment, I guess. But yeah. I'm like so excited. There's just so many good bands on that whole thing. Like, I don't even, it's like too much. I'm like overwhelmed that it's happening.
It's cool because there's like newer bands, but then there's like bands reuniting, and there's bands like, you know, but there's everyone from, you know, Under Oath to Terror to, you know, 18 Visions to Zao. So it's just, it's going to be really cool. Did you guys play the original Furnace Fests?
Yeah, we actually did. I believe we did 2 out of the 4.
Okay.
But I remember, I'm pretty sure we played like the first 2 Furnace Fests. Nice. And they were just so cool. Cause like the guys that started it and kind of run it, I mean, we've been friends with and like kind of business colleagues too. Cause Chad Johnson worked at Tooth and Nail and Solid State when we were there. Mm-hmm. So like Ryan and all the guys that have done Furnace Fest originally, We were friends with prior to Furnace Fest. And then when they did Furnace Fest, like, it's kind of funny because Chad's done so many different things. It's weird that he's really known for like this kind of Furnace Fest thing, yeah. But that guy's been involved in so much that we've been involved in kind of. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's like, when they contacted us, and I mean, when he told me that they were even doing another Furnace Fest, I was blown away and so kind of like excited about it. And then they gave us our offer and we didn't hesitate, man. Yeah. We were super excited.
So for anyone listening, that's like, what are they talking about? Furnace Fest? What is this? It is, from what I understand, like, it is actually like around a big, huge furnace.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
On the fairgrounds kind of area. Like, it must mm-hmm. be hot as hell.
Yeah. They have them like where they actually have bands play. I don't even know if that thing's like in use anymore.
Okay.
But it's like, you're far enough away from all that kind of stuff anyway, but it is damn creepy. Like, it looks, just imagine like a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Like, yeah. At night you walk around that stuff, it's pretty awesome looking. But I mean, you know, if Alabama's going to be hot even in September, so
yeah. Absolutely, man. Okay, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the new album. I've been digging it a lot, and
awesome.
It's called The Crimson Corridor. It's out mm-hmm. now. You can get it. Actually, I think vinyl is sold out, at least yeah. on your Bandcamp.
Yeah, at the moment, we are going to be in second pressing of it. And I okay. think we're going to do some limited edition colors on the second press too. But yeah, that first pressing went pretty fast. We were totally blown away.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
But you can pick it up on CD, digital download, you can stream it, all that. I was curious, was there any chance that you guys were like, okay, let's hold off till we can play shows? Like, should we release this album during a pandemic? Was there any question about that? And then also, you know, you've released a lot of albums with the band over the years. What's it like to release an album during a worldwide clusterfuck?
Wow, that's a good question. So we unfortunately did hold it back. Like, we okay. originally wanted the record to come out in 2020. It was going to come out probably in August, I think, mm-hmm. is when we, because our drummer Jeff gets a lot of that stuff. I mean, he's the man. That dude does so much work behind the scenes. But his, I think, projected earlier date was like in 2020, August or so. And then with all this stuff happening, just like, mm-hmm. most bands, we were like, do we want to release a record when yep. we're not even going to be able to promote it? I mean, Zayo doesn't tour, but we do play a lot, play as much as we can. So we wanted to be able to do shows around it. And we got to the point where we sat on it. And this was even before, you know, we found out that shows were going to start happening again.
Yep.
We decided like December of 2020 that, hey, we got it done. Whatever, man, we'll just let the cards fall and we'll put it out in April. And if shows happen, cool. And if they don't, we just want to get this thing out because we want yeah. people to hear it because we're excited. So, so it really didn't come into play too much that we were worried about shows coming back. And luckily, you know, weirdly, the universe kind of comes in your,
yeah,
and helps you out there, but looks like shows are going to start happening here sooner than we thought. So
thanks to science, modern science yeah. coming in at the end. Yeah.
So nice that people actually pay attention to science, but so yeah, it worked out great. And Furnace Fest is going to be kind of like the introduction to what we're doing. We're going to play some of this new stuff and some old stuff, everything, but we're really, really stoked to see how people react to the new stuff live. And yeah, can't wait.
You know, I kind of answered my own question when I was thinking about it when you were saying that, because I was like, okay, so what's it like to release an album in this? But then I realized, oh wait, they already sold out of their vinyl, so it must be okay. You know,
yeah. Well, yeah, it is funny to think about, because I think there's such a, what I'm hoping. I mean, I don't know, you know, because you just don't know how the human element is. But like, what I'm hoping is that people, when you have something like this taken away from you, you know, appreciate all this. So like, hopefully when shows come back, they're going to be full of people. Like, they're, you know, as long as it's safe, obviously, but they're going to be well attended, you know, clubs that like were on the verge of bankruptcy, hopefully will be able to hold on until these shows happen. And then they'll just you know, have the best year in 2022, the end of 2021, which is, that's what I'm hoping. And we saw it. I mean, we put the record out, and we were lucky enough that people were into it as much as they were, but it did do, you know, really well for what we expected. So I think that there's a need for like art and people, you know, especially with what, like you just said, when you're going through this kind of horseshit for a year, just what that, you know, the isolation of it, like all that stuff. I think that the people hopefully will appreciate the arts and get out there and, you know, help them keep going.
So, you know, you were just mentioning like the need for art, the need for that kind of stuff. Like, let's just say, and it's not hard to imagine, you're having a rough day, you know, within the middle of the pandemic, political craziness going on, the world is, you know, on fire when you turn the news on. Is there an album that you can go back to, you know, and this is maybe something of all time, whether it be something extremely chaotic or calming or anything, just an album you can go back to like recenter yourself or get your aggression out, either way, just something you can go back to and is like a solid foundation for you?
I mean, there's always going to be records that, I mean, I'm a big, like, I love heavy stuff, but I do really like some calm stuff. So I'm a big Tears for Fears fan.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
Like, I could listen to that. That'll calm me. But no, I'll like Through Silver and Blood, Neurosis is probably a record I go to when I want to get some angst out.
Yeah.
Honestly, too, like, I've been a big fan of this band called Yob for a while.
Yeah.
They're out of,
love right near our neck of the woods. Yep.
Yeah, dude. It's Sleep too. I see that. So that's awesome. But yeah, I'm a big fan of Yob, and that Our Raw Heart record that came out has been a really helpful record for me in this whole pandemic thing. Like, knowing that Mike, the singer, went through what he went through and luckily came out of it, you know, came out of it strong. So it's a very inspirational band to listen to. So
one thing that I think is really rad is that you guys are a band that has, you know, sustained for so long, you know, whether it be, you know, different like member changes and whatever, but, you know, the solid core of Zayo's there. And you guys have been on some big labels, been on Ferret Records. You've been on Solid State, which was like where I first found out about you guys. And now, from what I understand, you guys are doing it yourselves. Is that right?
Yeah, actually.
Putting them out yourself, which is cool.
Yep. Yeah, we self-release everything. I think we just saw the turning point. Not that labels, I mean, there's a lot of people that might just assume, oh, well, we hate labels. No, it's not really that. Like, I, you know, a lot of bands get on labels and there's a lot of complaints. And sure, the finances are always kind of whatever they're going to be. But there's a lot, like when we were on Ferret, I've talked about this before, you know, we didn't make a ton of money from Ferret, but neither did the guys that own Ferret. You know, like you have to put up a lot of money for a band to get them seen and put in front of faces. So these guys, you know, did everything that they could. Even, I mean, Solid State too, like both labels, without those labels, our band does not become what it is and doesn't exist how it does. So we owe them, you know, a ton. And but we just felt like, well, look, the way all of this stuff is moving, you know, we have a good core fan base that follows us, and we keep an eye on our like insights on all the different socials, so we see like all the engagement, so we have pretty high engagement. We're like, well, what, look, if we engage, we stay present, we always are on there to talk to people, we feel like, well, if we released our own records, if we could figure out a way to come up with the finances of recording price, like costs and all that kind of stuff, and the manufacturing costs, then maybe we could do this and just kind of have everything in house and not have to answer to anybody. And so far we've been very, conservative with how we do like our stuff, spending money. And we have no high expectation. We kind of like just have an idea of what we think we could do and what we could sell. And we make sure not to over press, you know, like, I mean, what if we're not going to go out and press 10,000 records, cause you're not going to sell 10,000 records. So you come up with a good price point and make it comfortable and fair for everybody. And it's been working out. I honestly think it's just, you gotta be realistic and reasonable.
You guys luckily are at the point where, you know, you have such a, a rabid fan base for one, but also you have a name and the credibility within the music scene. And mm-hmm. so people, the eyes are already on you. So maybe if you were just starting out, it wouldn't be as easy to do it, but you guys have, you guys have this where you can do it direct to listener, you know, direct to consumer. I hate to say this word consumer because it's like a dirty word, but it is. It's you're an independent business and it's direct to consumer, and that's really rad. So I congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you. And like I said earlier, I mean, honestly, without those two labels busting their asses for us, like we wouldn't have that ability to do what we do now. Like we totally understand that. We understand that all along the way that this band has existed, I mean, we always give every prop we can to like the original members of the band, every, like all of those pieces needed to be there and to push the band to where we get to do what we do now. So yeah, Solid State and Ferret are always going to be, we're indebted to them for what they've done for us. Yeah. And now we have the ability, like you said, you do, if you have a good core fan base that you actually pay attention to and like, yeah, I mean, you can do it. So.
I had a question. So just, within the last few years, you guys have been pretty active, put it out a couple records. There was a bit of a lull there. Were you guys broken up or were you guys just kind of inactive for a few years?
We were basically, so 2000, let's see, the last record we did, well, actually we did a record called Fear Is What Keeps Us Here that was out on Ferret.
Yep.
Okay. So that came out in like 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And we, up to that point, have been a band since whatever. I mean, I've been in the band since 1998. So like we were pretty much touring nonstop up until that 2006 period. People left, all this kind of stuff, but we just, I think 2006 hit and the band was doing fine, but we were all just super burnt out. And we were like, look, we have to take a break. So we took that break, but unfortunately that break turned into like a big, just kind of like stop. Mm-hmm. We always felt like, hey, we're going to come back to this, but like just as time progressed, things just, we just didn't, know?
Yeah.
Then 2009, we did we were out of our contract with Ferret, but mm-hmm. we had such a good relationship with them that we were like, well, hey, we have some songs. If you guys want to put the record out, we'll just do a really like easy, crazy deal, just make it real simple, not take a ton of money, just like try to save as much as we can and put it out. So they put Awake out in 2009. Mm-hmm. And then after 2009 we kept writing, but it was just that people were kind of dealing with their lives. Like I have a daughter. Awesome. Everybody in the, like me, Dan and Jeff all have kids, so we just kind of lived that thing for a while. Yep. And then 2016 hits. Well, actually, no, it was like 2014, 15. And I was like, Jeff, I got a bunch of tunes. Let's, I'm going to send them to you. Let's mess around. So, and then that was really the start and the catalyst for like us to get moving. And I think all of us now, the five of us that are in the band, are really like focused and really ready to move with everything. And I don't think we're going to have one of those stoppages for a long time until we're too old or whatever, but who knows. But yeah, I think we're writing now. Crimson Corridor came out, we still we're still writing for the next one. I mean, we're always kind of thinking ahead, so we're like 2 years ahead of where we're at.
It's cool that you guys gave yourselves that space to maybe not be as dramatic as like having to force yourselves to just continue to grind it out. Cause then maybe it would have been a more dramatic breakup, you know, if you would have just continued to just force it. And you said yourself, you guys are kind of burnt out on it. So it's nice you guys were able to give yourselves that room to have family, to pursue jobs, to live life, and then come back as, you know, things start to feel better, I guess.
Yeah. I think a lot of bands, like, you know, I would assume Zayo was never like our main financial thing. Like all of us, we always have had jobs while we're doing the band, but the band's always been great, you know, and we are so appreciative of anything, because honestly, to make any money playing music is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, it was never like our main thing. But so it probably wasn't like, I'm sure the bands that when they're making thousands and thousands of dollars for the year, and like, that's their job, it'll be a lot harder to walk away from it. And then what ends up happening is a lot of those bands probably do get burnout even worse. And there's like bad, just horrible breakups, and no friendships end. And luckily for us, we were able to be like, hey, we're going to take a break. And it's really cool. It's really refreshing. And now we're like, everything we do, everybody has to be in, and like, the whole relationship and the dynamic in the band works really well. Everybody's excited and refreshed, and we don't do anything that's going to like burn us out, because you kind of like live through that. We're also older, so we can't be doing anything too crazy, but I agree. I think that break really does refocus your attention, you know?
And, you know, you guys have a unique blend of like hardcore and metal that is just so passionate that I think it would be really hard to fake. If you were burnt out and you just tried to force through it and you weren't into it, the fans, the listeners, the Zayo heads, they would just be like, oh, this is not So it's, you know, you guys came back with it though, with the new one, it's awesome record. But I was curious, you mentioned you have a daughter. What does she think of dad's crazy music?
Well, she does sort of give me, she makes fun of it a little bit because it is kind of funny to her, but she actually played on the new record. This is the first time she's like, it's cool to her that she played on our record, because she does. She plays violin. She's played for 4 years.
Wow.
And there's a part on the last, there's like the last song that's like that 10-minute crazy one. There is a section of that song where she has the violin playing while I'm playing, so it's really cool because it's like just me and her kind of playing together. Now that she's done the violin part for the record, she's like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Give her some points on that record, right? Some publishing, right?
She'll get some. Yeah. So that's, I was joking to our engineer Dave, and I was like, you know what would be amazing if this record actually did good enough to like get a Grammy nomination, and like my first Grammy and my daughter gets one because she's on the record. And it like took me it's like 25 years and she just played violin and she gets one too.
cross your fingers.
Yeah, I know. That's not that.
Let's go a little bit. I'm sure you've covered this in other interviews, but you're a music head, so I'm sure you'd love to talk about music.
Sure.
What are the bands that inspired you to pick up a guitar?
Oh man. Well, first and foremost, I started playing guitar because my grandfather played, and he would play, you know, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson. He was way into like kind of like that older outlaw country stuff. So Johnny Cash was always played in my house, and that was something that like touched me as a younger kid to like actually listen. This is music. Okay. I credit Master of Puppets, Metallica, for the reason I play guitar.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think when I heard that as like a 12-year-old, it blew my brains out, and I just wanted to play that kind of stuff. And that record is the reason I even play metal, yeah. I guess, but yeah.
Well, what got you further down like the hole of like, you know, underground stuff? What was your gateway to like the underground scene?
So I think what happened for me was like, I definitely got into Metallica first. And then that like kind of opened up the door. I think that Sepultura was like the next heavy step for me. And then after that is when I got into all the Florida death metal stuff. So like, I loved Cannibal Corpse and Morbid Angel and all those bands, Deicide. I got into that kind of stuff. Suffocation, oh God, that Suffocation Pierce from Within record was like so huge.
Thrones of Blood.
Yeah, it's so good. So like I got into that stuff. And then I kind of moved into like more of this, like, I don't know what you would want to call it, but I don't think it's necessarily like that I wanted to slow down, because I don't think it is, but like I love that super violent heavy fast stuff. But now like the whole dooms thing is just so, I'm just so into it. So like Sleep, and I mean, I got Caius was first, and Sleep, and you know, all this kind of like that, like Neurosis. I mean, I guess you can call them a doom band. They're kind of weird, but
yeah.
But yeah, like Neurosis was a big influence on even like on the first AO record I played on, Liberate. That mm-hmm. one, you know, I listened to Through Silver and Blood pretty heavily for that stuff. So, but yeah, now like I love all that doom stuff. Like yeah. that new Almond. Have you listened to Almond Raw yet? That band,
dude. They just made the cover of Decibel. God.
Are you kidding me? That yeah, band's just insane. They're
I couldn't believe it.
So
I get
good.
The Decibel magazine in the mail, and there's Almond Raw on the cover.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Congratulations.
That band's so good. Them. But I mean, I always too, like being in the scene we were in, like, mm-hmm. you know, Converge, Cave In, Every Time I Die, all those bands, I've loved all that stuff. I mean, we played with them. I mean, all those bands we've played shows with, Every Time I Die, we did like two tours with Dillinger Escape Plan, yep. did a couple tours with them. So like all that stuff, I totally fell in love with. But yeah, like the doom stuff now is what like me and Dan and Jeff really like kind of get into the doom, which is, I think, kind of showing where Zayo's kind of moving. But
could we ever expect like a dope smoker style Zayo song, like a
yes.
doom?
Yes. Zayo. Yeah, I think there's probably going to be the next few records or like 7 inches or whatever we're going to do. Like, I think you're going to see, we're never like, Zayo's always going to have, you know, those burner, like just
for sure.
Crazy. Like, I'm never probably going to stop, 'cause I love violent, heavy music, but I think you're going to hear a lot more of that, like kind of stoner, like doom influence in some of this newer stuff.
Zayo hit the bong, man. What
That's
happened?
Right. That's right. I know. That's... dude. It needs to be legal everywhere. PA is almost there.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So like we have a couple, there's a guy running for Senate now, Fetterman, that has been trying to like
yeah.
push it, but like, I just don't get it. People just make it legal. Why does it matter?
Seattle is quite legal. So
yeah,
if you ever like, come out here,
dude, I think New York, like even New York decriminalized.
Yep.
There's like a
New
bunch
Jersey,
of states around.
Yep.
Yeah. Like there's a bunch of states that are decriminalizing it. Like, dude, just come on. It's a plant.
So going back to you joining Zayo, that must have been a pretty awesome time. Like, what was that like for you to join this already kind of cult sensation underground band? Like, were you friends with them already?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
The bands, yeah, the band. I played in a ton of different bands earlier in my like start, like even high school bands. And like those bands eventually formed into this one thing called Creationist Crucifixion.
Yeah.
That would tour a lot. And so even though Creation was like pretty anti-religious band, like we played with Zayo and stuff. Sure. It was never, back then it wasn't, you know, everybody kind of played together and
yeah.
it didn't really get whatever. But so I knew the Zayo before even like Dan and Russ and Brett joined it. And then when those dudes joined, I have been friends with Russ since like ninth grade. Mm-hmm. So I knew Dan and Russ's band and Brett's band prior to like them joining Zayo. So like we've all been pretty close friends, which I think is funny because we talk about like how Marty and Jeff are kind of the new guys in Zayo now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I knew Marty in ninth grade. I knew Marty when I first started playing in bands in high school. I knew Jeff because I mean, those guys were in bands that were like there were a certain amount of whatever, like all these different high schools in Greensburg area where we all live, and all those dudes, like I've known Jeff and Marty longer than I knew anybody else in Zayo.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we were just all friends. So when those dudes joined the band, I Blood and Fire definitely at like when Russ and Dan and Brett did it with Jesse, I don't know. We still had to like kind of work. I remember like when I got in to the band, we were still playing shows that weren't super big, but they were definitely like, you could tell when I joined that it was like, this is like a real thing, because yeah. there were at least enough people that it legitimized it to the point where like, oh my God, we made like $150, you mm-hmm. know, like as a band, where like you tour before that, you'd maybe lose money.
Yeah.
So when I joined with them, there were a bunch of festivals that Zayo would play that were always big. Like we always were able to get on like the the Cornerstones and the Crazy Fests and stuff like that. Hellfest they did a couple years. But we saw like a gradual move, just it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know, when I got in with Liberate, luckily people liked it. Like, we were definitely concerned, because just like prior to them, when Blood and Fire came out, everybody was worried that Blood and Fire wouldn't be whatever, and it ended up being better. And Liberate came out and people seemed to dig that as much as anything else that, that the band was doing. But I mean, we still had Dan and Russ. And I will always say this. I think no matter what Zayo does, as long as Dan is part of the equation, I really don't ever worry. Because I think, you know, to me, Dan's lyrical content and he has such a distinct sound to his voice that, like, I do think that the band has a sound, but Dan's kind of what makes it. So as long as Dan's there, we're in good shape.
Just shredding vocal core, just gnarly. Absolutely, man.
So, I don't know how that dude still does it. He, like, being in his 40s, we're all in our 40s now. I don't know how he does it, but he sounds so good still. So
I had a theory when I don't want to do a spoiler here or anything, or like break kayfabe in wrestling terms, but I always had a theory that you guys must have really liked Heartwork by Carcass, because his voice changed. His voice just, it went full Carcass, and I was like, this is the sickest thing. Like, because from Splinter Shards to what was that, Blood and Fire?
Yep.
It was way night and day, and I loved it.
Oh yeah,
is that true? Yep.
Well, so there were bands in our area, like, because there was a really awesome hardcore, actually like a metalcore scene. This is prior to there actually even being metalcore, but like there were a ton of bands that came from our area that were playing that infusion of like really metal at DIY hardcore shows. Yeah. So, and a lot of those bands, the vocal style was kind of that shreddy, like Carcassy vocal. Now we were all like, dude, Carcass is insane. Like, huge fans of Carcass. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I mean, Dan has never said Carcass was where he quoted Iron Monkey as the band that he listened to that had that kind of shreddy vocal. But hands down, Carcass was one of all of our like bands that we liked so much. And like these local bands that like, there's a band called Abnegation, a band called Passover. Mm-hmm. Those bands had that sort of vocal style too. So like we were very influenced by that, and definitely influenced by all that great metal, all that Heartwork record. Damn it. It's so good.
How crazy is it that, like, you know, we're 2021 and now there's like, there's almost like a throwback. There's like bands that are like citing Disembodied as like their main influence, and like,
oh yeah,
kind of coming back and like doing a 90s metalcore worship. Like, isn't that kind of wild how that is now a thing again? It's rad.
It's so weird. And I'm glad they're using Disembodied as the band, because I love Disembodied.
Or like Prayer for Cleansing or Undying, like, all that kind of stuff.
It's definitely strange to me to see how that cycle works. I don't know how it happens, but like all like these type of bands, like the Disembodied, all these bands, they come out, they're awesome, and then somehow people forget how awesome they are, and then like it always ends up being like people remember how awesome they are. And luckily, I think too, like there's something to be said for like authenticity in stuff. So I think the metalcore scene definitely got to the point where like hair metal, like humor to me, like there's some metalcore bands that just make me kind of laugh. So like to see it kind of progress to the bands that like got way involved in the way they looked and like now, like, it's so, because when I hear the term metalcore, I don't think of like singing little choruses and like big heavy verses. Like to me, like Disembodied and like Dead Guy and that kind of was metalcore. So it is weird to me. And I just saw Dead Guy's playing again. How crazy is that? So
that Decibel Fest.
Yeah, that Decibel.
Are you going to go to that? It's right in your area,
dude. I might, but we get mad every year because Decibel's been awesome to Zayo. Like yeah. we've done, they've done a lot, like every record we put out there, you know, Jeff's actually pretty close contact with Albert and all the dudes okay. over there. So like, Decibel's one of our go-tos, like as long as Decibel's like happy with what we do, yeah. like we know we're in good hands. Mm-hmm. And dude, every year they do that fest and they never ask us. Cause we're all like,
God damn it.
And like all of us are like psycho beer dudes. Yeah. So like we actually have done like two or three beer collabs, and we just sent them one of the last beer collabs that they did a review on, and we're like, we're gonna send them a beer, maybe they'll get us one. Nope, never. They never do. They never ask us.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't care. It doesn't like I support Decibel forever because they yeah. have been so one of the best magazines to help us. I mean, they definitely, we owe them a debt of gratitude for everything they've done. So
One of the last real like bastions of like underground like yeah. print media.
Yep. Yep. So yeah, they really are. Mm-hmm.
So I'm if you were and say we're coming back and it's not Furnace Fest, but it's your fest. So we're coming mm-hmm. back and it's Scott Fest and you can book five bands for Zayo to play with. What are we looking at? And this could be bands that have broken up. Bands that have passed on members, you know, like Death, say Chuck, you could resurrect Chuck from the dead. You know, you could have Dio on if you want. All time, what is Scott Fest? Five other bands and Zayo.
God, that's going to be so hard.
And okay, I am so throwing this at you out of nowhere.
Yeah. okay. So, if you're throwing. So we can bring people back from that. Okay, so I would probably play one band would probably be like, you know, Paranoid era Black Sabbath.
Killer.
Master of Puppets era Metallica.
Yeah.
Oh man, this is so tough. I would probably do I'd probably have to throw through Silver and Blood Neurosis.
Nice.
Era. I have two more. Oh, this is so tough. This is going to be totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
But I would probably throw in what era? How It Feels to Be Something on Sunny Day Real Estate era.
Amazing band. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't know who that last one would be. That's tough. Honestly, I'd have to probably say Dillinger. Cause like, cool. dude, yeah. Dillinger was one of our favorite bands to tour with.
I saw guys at the Showbox with Dillinger. That was a killer.
Yeah. Oh, we still like, I don't talk to Ben too much, but like Greg and like we talked, me and Dan pretty regularly talk to Liam. Yeah. So, yeah, that band, I don't know. There's just something special about them for us. Cause a couple of the tours we've done, and I really do feel like, you know how everybody's like, oh well, you get on this tour, this is going to really make your band. Well, no tour does that really. Yeah. But like I think touring with Dillinger like legitimately put us in front of people that we would have never been in front of, and yeah. helped Zayo kind of legitimize itself. So
and then Zayo headlines the fest
over can't
Metallica
do it. Yeah I can't over... do that but
as the people go to their cars, right?
Once it's all done, then we'll play. They'll be on the way home.
Talking about tours that are huge, I remember Zayo coming through Seattle with this. Imagine this lineup in 2021. Okay, Coheed, Unearth, Under Oath, and Shai Hulud.
And how crazy is it that we were the headliner? Like, how nuts does that sound?
And that was right as like the beginning of like the real big wave of like popular metalcore and all of that was like Under Oath hadn't really popped yet. Mm-hmm. Coheed was like on their first record, and like you said, you guys headlined, so that's a sign.
We headlined. You know? How messed up is that?
3 years later, Coheed probably would have been the headliner or something, but
easily. Look at Coheed. I mean, that's actually right when. So that's always crazy to me, because when Coheed played a couple of the dates with us, it was like right when they were in their like struggle phase where they were like mm-hmm. almost breaking up. So I think about that all the time. Like, man, those dudes like were on the verge of breaking their band up, and then look at what happened to them.
I saw them open like for Iron Maiden, dude. So
yeah, like they're like they are monster huge. Like yeah, to they're the like point a
stadium
where,
rock band.
Yeah. And we actually, there was this really cool festival a couple years ago. There was a club that we've always played in Southern California called Chain Reaction.
Yep.
So they did a thing called Chain Fest.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what club they actually put it in because it was, they ended up being, making it pretty big.
Observatory, but, maybe?
Yes, that's it. Thank you. And Circa Survive and Coheed were the headliners.
Cool.
And I remember, like me, I was talking to Jeff. I was like, yeah, I remember when these dudes like opened. Remember when they were like going to break up and like they didn't even talk to us. And I was like, I kind of want to be like, ah, we played in a, we headlined every you want.
Yeah.
But no, like how crazy is it to think, man, bands, you just never know. You don't know. Like you could be one year, you could be on the verge of breaking up, opening for a band like us. And then like 2 years, 3 years removed, you're headlining, doing huge freaking stadiums. So yeah,
absolutely, dude. So I just wanted to bring up that tour just as like a time like capsule as to like how crazy mm-hmm. that was. You know, I don't want to take up all your time here, but we do have, I do want to once again mention the Crimson Corridor is available now. Mm-hmm. And before I ask you the last question, what is the sure. best way that we can support you guys? You know, no one's officially touring quite just yet. What's mm-hmm. the best way that we can support you guys if we dig the music?
I honestly, like, anything's helpful. But I mean, if you want to purchase the record, that's the best way. And we, if you just go through Bandcamp, our Bandcamp is like our like easily what helps. I think Bandcamp's one of the best
kicks ass
places. Yeah. Cause like, I mean, they do the Fridays where like they take no percentage.
Yep.
There's just so many cool things that Bandcamp does for your band. So, if you want to support and you feel like you want to buy something, go on there. But honestly, man, like people just tweeting about it or like yep. Instagramming about it. They don't even have to buy anything. If they're like, hey, we listen to this Zayo record and we like it, you know, dude, all that stuff. We're just so happy that people care. So.
Awesome. Well, Scott, last question for you. We ask this for mm-hmm. everyone. You know, you've had quite the life touring the world and you're a dad now, but it comes down to scars. Pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar. And show us if you can.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. So I have a couple and none of them are band related.
Oh, that's cool.
But let me see. So I don't even know if you'll be able to see it anymore. But one, the scar on me that's like the craziest, and I don't think you're going to be able to see it. There's one on my face.
Oh, I can kind of see that. Yeah.
Right there.
Okay. Yeah. It looks like a little divot. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I was a BMXer like when I was younger.
Okay.
I love riding bikes. And we, for some reason, there was this whole like cool fad where you took your damn hand grips off your bike and just rode on the metal. Right.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was super stupid. And I got into a pretty crazy like smash up with another dude.
Okay.
And I somehow, and I don't, cause I blacked out, but I flipped up and I came down, the bike went like this. And the metal tubing of the handlebars, like almost took my eyeball out. But
how lucky you were, dude, that it didn't, it's just a few inches up.
Like it could have, cause they even like it scraped the bone a little bit, but it didn't break anything. And it just ripped open this.
Yeah.
And it like went this way instead of this way. If it would have went this way, no eye here. So yeah, that sucked, but it's, I got that thing. So
did you keep riding BMX after that?
I put the hand grips on.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I kept riding, but I never ever took those. Man, those rubber guys were on there forever.
I hear you. Damn, dude. All right. Well, that's a gnarly story.
Yeah.
I like it. Right on, man. Okay. So again, Scott Mellinger from Zayo, new album, The Crimson Corridor. Any words for the Seattle and Metal Shop audience before we go?
Just thank you for listening to anything we do. And like Seattle is one of our favorite places and it kills me that it's so far from us because we want to play so bad. But I think in 2022, we have some plans to get out on the West Coast and actually get up to that. So yeah, we love it up there.
Right on, man. We'll stay
and
safe.
Dude, you guys, like, we're all Twin Peaks fans. We're nuts. So, like, you guys, yeah, like, we keep talking about it. We got to get back up there so we can go and do the whole Twin Peaks thing. So.
Yeah, when you come up here, my roommate, actually, he was he worked on the set of the Twin Peaks remake.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he said David Lynch was a really cool guy to work with.
That's cool. Yeah, he seems like he would be cool. Like, definitely, like, weird, but, like, I think it would be awesome if you know what you're doing. So
once you get here, I'm going to email you, and we're all going to go to Tweed's Cafe and get a piece of damn fine piece of pie.
I love it.
And a nice cup of coffee.
Fine coffee. Yes. Exactly. I love it.
Right on, man. All right, dude. Stay safe. Dude. And I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.